Blog Talk Radio.
It's almost time. You right there with the pretzel. Time to sit down. Cruise, man. Yeah.
Hey, you going to the concession stand. You going to the bathroom. Come back. The show's about to start.
Got my boys. We out here ready. We about to be some high-flying, high-slamming, slammer-jammer, three-point shooting between the legs, behind your back, through your legs, on your neck. Hey, everybody, if you guys can get in your seats, I'm going to sing the national anthem.
Ready.
It's time to... I put it down the babies, put down the pepperoni.
Let's go!
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, game time!
Okay there, parents, we're up on there again. Parents Culture Parent Network, Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, M.H. Scott. And again, I'm going to promise you another great show this afternoon. And hopefully you got your pen and pad and paper out and be ready to take some notes, because there's some things that we need to talk about as parents of student-athletes and future parents of student-athletes. For those of you that's out there that children haven't gotten into sports yet, but they're about to get into sports, or, you know, they've been playing around with it over the last few years or so. You know, one of my guests last week, Dr. David Benzel, talks about, you know, kids having fun when they're playing sports, and that should always be the thing. And if they're not having fun, and when it gets to the point of them not having fun, then it may be time for them to turn in their shoes or put the ball up or whatever the case may be. But what we're going to talk about here today is some of the things that I think we as parents should really focus on during the time period that our children are trying to go to school, especially if you have one of those high-profile student-athletes. But before I go on, I have to play my man, Mr. Keith Wright. Keith is a student at the University of Harvard, wrote this little piece for us, and I have to play it each and every time because I think it's there's a message in this little piece. Keith, where you at?
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-ball would do the same. I can't complain the situation that I'm in. Meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, let them hate then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and the knowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making small moves. That's how I do.
Again, and that's my man, Mr. Keith Wright. Went to Princess Anne High School in the 757 area of Virginia. And now he's at the University of Harvard playing basketball, doing wonderful things. Keep it up, Keith. We're looking forward to hearing some great things coming from you later on. But, parents, what I want to talk about this afternoon, and I'm only going to be here for a little while, but I want to talk about something that, again, I say we should all have our mindset on and stay focused on the entire time that we have athletes playing at the collegiate level. And in some cases, you know, where it all starts at the high school level. I think that's where we realistically should start looking at this stuff. And, you know, if you have a high-profile athlete, like I stated earlier, you know, may want to focus on this here at the middle school level or when your child is around 13, 14, 15 years old. 12, 13, 14, 15 years old. Again, parents, if you want to call in and talk to us this afternoon, you can reach us at 646-929-2416. You can reach us at 646-929-2416. We'll be on the air for probably about the next half hour or so, providing some good information on a very serious subject. Let's look at it. Over the last year or so, we've had a lot of information that's popped up on sports news as far as violations are concerned. violation. It seems like every other week something new is popping up on some particular school, whether or not we're talking about the University of Southern California, USC, or whether or not we're talking about the Cam Newton situation there at Auburn, or we're talking about what's going on in Florida, or we're talking about Ohio State. And if you notice, it made a circle back around to Florida again. But those issues, I believe, and I'm only speaking for one at this point, you know, I'm not speaking for the entire Parents, Coach, Parent Network. I'm speaking for myself. I believe that those issues can be avoided to some degree with some proper guidance from parents. Parents, this is something that we, if we insert ourselves into, and it's a hard pill and a hard thing to get our arms around, but I think somehow we have to manage to figure out how to insert ourselves into these situations to help our athletes avoid these ugly situations, our student-athletes avoid these ugly situations. And, you know, I always say I like to refer to them as our children, avoid these situations. Because if we don't, the situation gets uglier and uglier and uglier every day. And, you know, there's folks out there now, you know, governing bodies that's trying to figure out how to govern this, how to regulate these particular issues. And I'm talking about these violations that keep occurring at the NCAA, you know, the NCAA violations that keep popping up at the various institutions. It's something that parents, I think, you should be more aware of, more in tune of, and because you'll know the first sign that your child is doing something or has something that you're kind of scratching your head on how he or she obtained that. If you're at that point, then guess what? You may want to look into it. Ask that question. Ask the coach. You know, ask somebody. You know, and you know what I find? I found here that oftentimes these types of situations come out of urban areas where the families are somewhat financially challenged, or their economic status is not at a high level. So as a result, the children believe that, you know, they want to make things better for themselves so that they can assist their families. Parents, when you're putting that type of pressure on your children, then you're asking for situations like this to happen. But we can avoid this. One, be honestly, perfectly honest with you, do you really have to put that pressure on your children? You know, you got to make do where you got to make do, okay? But as far as applying that pressure onto our children, think about it. They're trying to go to school. They're trying to get their education. In a lot of cases, they're trying to just graduate from high school. So do we really need to add that type of pressure onto them as far as them assisting us financially? I know. I've lived there, been there, done that, came from that type of environment. But trust me, my parents would have never insisted on me assisting them financially in any way during the years that I was trying to obtain my education and move on and better myself. You know, they would make do somehow and come up with all the other things that are required instead of, you know, trying to find resources from my siblings and I. So, parents, please, I beg you to reconsider that situation. And I know that's going on, and I know that the economy has a lot to do with it, and all these other different factors that's out there that's plaguing us. But we need to figure out a way to get around that somehow, okay? As we talk about these different issues, you know, I listened to a number of sports news stations this past weekend, and they talked about a whole lot of different things, you know, everything from First Take to ESPN, Outside the Lines, and a couple other shows. All these shows addressed various issues. Whether or not they was talking about the young man prior that just left the University of Ohio State, or whether or not they were still trying to talk about what was going on with Cam Newton. And now they have a new issue with football, you know, as they talk about what's going on at University of Miami. You know, and I'm not going to dig into any of them and try to come up with any stats or anything that's going to make them stand out or talk about any facts or anything I've heard, you know, because right now a lot of that is all hearsay. But I tell you what, you know, if you look at the graduation rate for football players, you know, that don't get that education, you're looking at 46%. Now, I know the NCAA has cracked down and tried to demand that a lot of these players get their education, get their degrees at the end of the day. But we're looking at 46%. 56%, well, actually, I think it's more close to, well, not close to, but it's somewhere around the number of 55.7 or something like that. So they say 56% basketball players, you know. And only thing they do is get the kids there, make sure that they, you know, get the proper rest. They run them and then they feed them. And, you know, that's an ongoing cycle for them. But at the same time, we got to make sure that the kids are getting their education. We got to make sure that the children are getting their education. You know, if we talk about that young man Pryor, where he had went out and I think he sold some pants, plaque, ring, or whatever he sold there. You know, he got every bit of about $2,500. Okay, $2,500 for putting his autograph or putting his signature on a couple of pieces of memorabilia or whatever. $2,500. That's not any major money. Okay, you know, but I guess that young man or whoever was baiting him with that thought that that was really something big. You know, the NCAA really need to look at that because, you know, they're out there selling that young man's jersey and coming in with a profit of over $2 million. $2.4 million, to be exact. $2.4 million. If you're out there trying to sell one of his jerseys or any one of these other, just imagine what Cam Newton's jersey went for, you know, the minute that he decided to get, well, the minute he got drafted number one. Well, his jersey was going for on a regular basis at the university as long as he was winning for that university. They were raking in major bucks, you know, for them different jerseys. But, you know, now the focus is on this new sport, 7-on-7 football. 7-on-7 football is non-contact, no helmets, no pads, no anything other than the athlete out there running up and down the field. You got seven on the field from each side, seven playing offense, seven playing defense. No linemen are involved. And this 7-on-7 has taken on a face that is very similar to what we already know when we look at AAU basketball. This 7-on-7 has runners out there, folks trying to steer folks towards various schools and all these other kind of things. And actually, it's at the point where it's getting out of control. Well, I'll let you decide whether or not it's getting out of control. I'll leave it at that. I'll leave it at that. I think until they get a regulation around it or get somebody to actually govern it, it may spiral to a point. But I have a little clip from ESPN's Outside the Line on this 7-on-7. It's about 4 minutes long. I'll let you listen to it, and then you tell me what you think. One thing I want you to focus on is what the young man is saying in this interview, what this young man is actually saying in this interview. And here are some of the words that's actually coming out of his mouth. What pushes him towards playing this 7-on-7? All right, let's see if we can get this 7-on-7 pulled up. Tried to pull it up one time before, and it didn't work for me, but hopefully we can get it up this time.
One of the nation's best high school football players, Deontay McManus is a physical wide receiver who helped lead Baltimore's Dunbar High School to a state championship this season.
The Dunbar Poets celebrate a state 1A championship.
Last summer, McManus was playing 7-on-7 football with Maryland Dream Team. He's seen here. On the night before a tournament at the University of South Carolina, McManus and his teammates partied on this 60-foot yacht.
The boat was big. I'd never been on a boat before, so that was my first time. So it was good. We was having fun, listening to music, dancing, things like that.
But McManus's yacht experience is just one of the red flags that has the NCAA investigating potential eligibility issues associated with spring and summer tournament football, known as 7-on-7. It's touch football played with no pads, no helmets, and no linemen.
That's too dangerous, Tracy!
But with recruiting attention and scholarships at stake.
7-on-7 is supposed to be the best of the best, so if you go out there and show that you could compete with other people, then your, like, your rating go up.
These non-scholastic traveling all-star teams feature players from various high schools competing in weekend tournaments at major universities. Among the coaches are personal trainers and scouting or recruiting service employees, the types of so-called third parties that for decades have influenced basketball recruiting.
7-on-7 is just an outlet. It's a way to we want to get kids exposure, and 7-on-7 is a way to do that.
Corey Robinson is McManus's 7-on-7 coach.
Why hold a social event for your players on a yacht?
A yacht is a very nice place to be. I haven't spent a lot of time, so it's an experience.
Robinson is a high school assistant coach and also directs the Maryland chapter of the Student Athlete Mentoring Foundation. The president of the organization, Steve Gordon. Gordon is a graduate of the University of South Carolina. Gordon told Outside the Lines his foundation paid about $16,000 for about 40 players and coaches, including McManus and Robinson, to travel to his alma mater.
Most of these coaches, that's these AAU and 7-on-7 coaches, they pray on the week. Come here.
Lawrence Smith is McManus's high school coach and a police officer at Dunbar. In March, an NCAA investigator presented Smith with the yacht photo.
Oh, I was heated. I couldn't believe it. All I could think about was the NCAA investigation. My kid is getting ready to lose everything that him and his family has fought for to get him to this point.
Gordon confirmed the NCAA is investigating him and his organization to determine if they have delivered athletes to colleges and universities. But Gordon says he and Robinson want only to help prospects fulfill their potential.
I just happen to, be a guy that loves football and a guy that has appreciation for that game and what it's done for me, and know how to share that and how to teach that.
Recently, the NCAA assigned 7 full-time investigators to explore potential recruiting and amateurism violations in 7-on-7 football. In the last 10 years, 13 major infractions cases have referenced non-scholastic basketball coaches. Now, the NCAA hopes they can prevent the problems that have plagued AAU basketball from spreading into football.
My biggest fear is that give outside third parties.
They said they brought in 7 investigators. 7 investigators. 7-on-7 has grown to be nationwide. They have major programs throughout the United States right now. And if you listen to the rest of that video, if you get a chance, you can go online and look up ESPN Outside the Lines, and it has the whole video of that show. 7-on-7 has actually grown to the point of being as huge as AAU basketball, So they're trying to figure out now how to regulate it, how to get their arms around it. Whether or not the NCAA needs to come out and regulate it, or whether or not National Federation of High Schools need to come out and regulate it. Someone needs to get a regulation on it, because if not, it'll turn into the same situation that we had with AAU basketball, where you have these runners and all these other folks involved in your child's future without you knowing what's going on, or you turning them over to these individuals, putting your child in a lot of cases into a bad situation, Now, that's not every student athlete, but that is the majority of the high-profile athletes. And if you have a child that is a high-profile athlete, then this is definitely something that you need to be aware of. Again, here recently, I listened to Outside the Lines this past Sunday, and they had a panel of about 12 on there, and they were talking about the issue with college football, you know, and all the violations that have occurred over the last few years. And they talked about football. Some of the folks that they had on there, I think Reese Mayers, he was the host of the show for that day. And then you had Mark May was on, Nick Saban from Auburn. You had Bill Stoops on from Oklahoma. You had Mike Bell. You had a number of ESPN analysts, Rod Gilmore, Robert Smith, Jay Billis, and Urban Myers, all on from ESPN, representing ESPN. And they were on just talking about the show. Let me see. It looks like I have a caller on the line that may have a question there. Caller, you're on the air with the Parents, Coach, and Parent Network.
Hey, Coach. I was just calling to weigh in on your 7-on-7.
Yes, ma'am, by all means. Please identify yourself first.
This is Vivian from Apathy. I was enjoying the show, and I couldn't help but call in. Because, you know, you're talking about football. You know how Coach feels about football, and it's carried over to me. But, listen,
okay.
I just wanted to weigh in quickly on your 7-on-7. I believe also that the 7-on-7 is going to spiral out of control as well. Because if you look at just recently in the last few months, there's been a press release from Madden, and he is now getting into the 7-on-7 championships, where I think was supposed to be here recently, in the Florida area, which we've got Disney and all that, so we see a lot of corporate involvement there. And after that, after this year, what he's going to do is invite those 7-on-7 athletes that he deemed that are really good to come back and be a part of his academy starting next year. So you saw something like this, and then by it being affiliated with Madden himself, you know, everyone's going to want to try to get to this particular academy. And it's just going to be, I believe, just a complete frenzy. And to the point that if you didn't come out of this academy, you're not going to get those top-notch schools.
Hey,
just
no,
my opinion.
I totally agree with you. And again, somebody needs to get their hands around this thing real quick, because I can see, as you said, it's going to spiral out of control. You know, I think that, you know, they went out and started it, and it has the same flavor, same feel as this AAU basketball. But I think 7-on-7 is I think it's a worse, it's a worse situation. At least AAU had some type of governing body on it, but the 7-on-7 has no governing body right now, you know. The AAU had, you know, the AAU was, Amateur Athlete Union to oversee what was going on. But this 7-on-7,
right.
And like I said, if they listen to the rest of the show that day, if they listen to that show on Outside the Lines, they heard a young man that was the co-founder. He said, hey, there's nothing wrong with it. He said they just trying to get some kids some exposure, you know. But meanwhile, the person that he's feeding the kids to, or a couple kids that's playing on some of his teams, has been the same college coach that coached him years ago, you know. And just
go.
In the little trip that just went off, you know, they're paying $16,000 for 40 kids to be out on a yacht. And see, the kids are excited about that. You know, the kids think that that's a big thing to be out on the yacht, you know. So, therefore, they're going to go for it. The parents ain't going to think anything's wrong with that. But you have to wonder sometimes. And then wonder why would folks put our children in that situation, you know?
Well, I think sometimes until we're in the situation, we're not fully aware of what we've got ourselves into, you know?
But I
think that there's an undertone there from these other organizations. Like I said, there's almost a conflict of interest, because you're actually influencing these athletes and their parents for future decisions. Like what college they go to and so on.
Yeah, you're actually taking control of a lot of these young men's lives. And, you know, when I opened up, I talked about a lot of it is happening to our young men, and not as much as the young ladies, but even more so with the young men. And it's getting to the point where it's totally out of control. It's out of control. Well, I thank you there, my sister, for calling in today. That was Ms. Vivian for Half a G's Radio, and you can catch them on the air when?
Sunday is 8 p.m. Central Standard Time.
8 p.m. Central Standard Time. All right. We'll be looking forward to talking to you later on.
Thanks for having me.
All right, sis. And that was Ms. Vivian for Half a G's Radio. But I need to go on because I want to talk about something else before we wind down here. You know, like I said, they had a panel of about 12 on ESPN Outside the Line this past Sunday, and that panel was talking about college football as well. And, you know, I named a few of the folks that was on that panel, but one of the key people that I seen that was on there that decided to show up was Joyce Cronin from University of Tennessee. She is the athletic director and the interim chancellor at the University of Tennessee. And, you know, they shared some good ideas and thoughts. And, you know, the best part about it was a nice open dialogue. And they realized that there were some things that they also disagreed upon as well. But at the end of the day, they did come up with five reasonable things that they think that the NCAA should look at or consider making some changes to. And I'm going to go through them five things real quick. And hopefully you'll have some input to that. Again, if you want to call in, you can give us a call at 646-929-2416. 646-929-2416. Well, the first thing that I seen, they talked about giving the student athletes a stipend. Giving the student athletes a stipend. Now, when they talk about giving them this stipend, they're talking about this stipend just above and beyond what they give them for normal college tuition, college enrollment. Okay? This stipend is not going to be a huge amount of money. It's just something just above what you would give for room and board, you know, something other than that. And that would be something that would be a nice little plus. So hopefully they'll keep that idea on the table and let these young men, well, young men and women, benefit from something that they're in, putting into the school other than, okay, they're getting that college degree. Four more points that have that they also listed. The second point is strengthen the ability to investigate the outside runners. Now, when they talk about investigating the outside runners, they're talking about these folks that have become street agents, these folks that are claimed to be scouts for various universities and things like that. You know, these folks that are out there that, you know, seriously need to step back out of your children's lives and allow you to step in and do some of the things that you should be doing as a parent. And imagine if you decided to invest your time, your energy, and yourself into your child's life to help your child, guide them in the right direction. We may cut down on some of these serious violations. No, they focus heavily on the 707 issue, but this issue also filters over to AAU basketball as well. Third, to simplify the NCAA rule book in regards to recruiting. The NCAA rule book is 900 pages long. 900 pages long. And to go through there and just simply look at some of the crazy things that you see inside the rule book, you know, and everybody keeps talking about this issue about how much cream cheese you can have on a bagel, that is just totally ridiculous. That shouldn't be something that should be addressed in a rule book. And they probably talk about that for at least a half a page or a page long in itself. Okay, third thing. Make stronger punishments for rules violators. But this is the key that I truly like about what they had to say about that. Once you make that stronger punishment for rules violators, that investigation should be done by an outside counsel, an independent outside counsel. What I mean by that, folks, someone that is not tied to the NCAA. An independent outside counsel should be the ones that conduct those investigations for rules violators. Last but not least, they wanted to add a plus one to the national championship game, and what that would be basically a four-on-four situation, not final four situation with the championship game. A final four situation with a championship game. You know, parents, we've been talking about some of the things that they've been talking about on the air, and I just went back and recapped some of these things. But, again, we need to make sure that we are involved in this issue. We are involved in our children's lives to the point of we're helping them or guiding them to make correct decisions and keeping them on track and keeping them focused. Because if we don't, then why should we put that responsibility or why should we expect someone else to? Parents, this has been M.A. Scott from the Parents, Coach, and Parent Network. I'm going to close out with my man, Mr. Keith Wright, as I always do. Keith, give it to us one time as we close. Keep making smart
student of the game. Had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know what would make it with the knowledge in my brain. And if I succeed with that, then be ball would do the same. I can't complain the situation that I'm in. Meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end. And when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen. But I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands and when the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart moves. That's how I do.
All right, we make it smart, cool. That's what he said. That's how he do. And for the young lady that's out there on the other end, while you're making all that noise at your typewriter, yes, your microphone is open. And we thank you from the Parents Culture Parents Network. 3592, we out of here.